Do you just pay Dak?
You're listening to Talk Sports.
North of $45 million, honestly, like it sounds surprising and people are laughing and talking about it, but I mean, like, we understand that the salary cap is going to continue to go up. And in 5 years, I would imagine all quarterbacks who are worth a damn are making $45 million, right?
Airing every day
from noon to three.
$45 million sounds crazy now, but in 3 years from now, you'll be like, oh, okay, that's kind of the going rate.
As David Lindley once said, you've got to pay the man.
Who's David Lindley?
He's a reggae kind of musician.
I would have gone with Teddy KGB. Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Pay the man.
Yeah, but Teddy KGB
Everybody's
is iconic.
Everybody's got to pay the man. Before you leave this world, you got to pay the man.
On 1340 WKGN.
Like I said about Jerry, Jerry's getting old. Before you leave this world, you got to pay the man.
Before you leave this world, you got to pay the man.
Who sings that?
David Lindley.
Let's keep it that way.
How creative.
Got him!
How creative.
Got him!
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Hour three kicking off here in the Fan Run Studios. Let's hit some hour three headlines. What do you got for us, Cam?
All right. We got our next 2K cover athlete got announced for 2K23.
What a stupid decision this was.
Yeah, it was very predictable and
awful. You thought it was predictable?
Just because of the jersey number. It made like it didn't surprise me with it being like
I'm thinking 2K23. Of somebody different. This isn't the official. You're talking about Michael Jordan, correct?
Yes.
No, that's just the special edition version.
Talking about, so Jaws on it?
No, it's Devin Booker.
Devin Booker, really? I saw somebody with a Photoshop Jaw. Everybody always makes their own covers.
Yeah, yeah. People wanted Jaw on there potentially, but like, no, the one I got was.
Okay, I haven't seen 2K even tweet that one out.
That was. I mean, I'm pretty sure Shams broke it whenever he.
Okay.
Whenever he broke the news that like Booker had signed his. Max extension or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then they also said he'll also be the cover of on 2K23. But yeah, the special edition Michael Jordan, that does. How many times has Michael Jordan been on this damn cover?
Thank you. He's on there on 11.
Uh huh.
And I don't remember off the top of my head outside of that. He probably definitely had Jordan editions of other ones too as well. So he's probably been on there. I wouldn't be surprised if it was three or four times at least, but yeah. Well, yeah, Devin Booker and Michael Jordan on the 2K stuff. Fun for them, I guess.
I suppose so.
This is some good news for you in the entertainment world.
Okay.
You're getting the cast of the next season of Big Brother announced today.
Nah, I don't care. I mean, I care. I'll watch it, obviously, but I don't care about the cast. Like, it usually takes me three or four weeks before I even like can remember anybody's name.
And then,
like, it's the same way with Survivor, and I love Survivor, but it always takes me a while to like actually get into like who the characters are.
Okay, yeah.
What they bring to the table, their personalities. When does Big Brother, I guess, air? When does that come on? Usually you don't get the cast until right before air date. Is it coming on Wednesday? Yeah, it comes on tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's a thing.
Because they're also like bringing my favorite show, The Challenge, to CBS. But they're not getting any of my MTV guys there. They're doing like all like CBS characters on there.
Oh, yeah, really?
Which sounds a little weird to me, but I guess they got to get that money. The Big 12 is now reportedly in deep discussions to add all six teams that were rumored, according to reports. Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Oregon, Utah, and Washington. Poor Washington State. I don't know what is going to be left for them.
Oregon State and Washington State, they're probably really pushing really hard to try to somehow get that legislation pushed through that the schools have to basically be tied to the hip. Or, yeah, they look like they may get left behind. Mountain West, here they come.
Deep discussion. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what. I mean, that's obviously the death blow to the Pac 12.
Ooh.
That'd be tough.
That is brutal for that conference, but oof.
Any other headlines?
Yeah. It wrapped up on Thursday after we got off the air, but Deshaun Watson's trial stuff and basically meeting with the lady that's going to make the decision on his suspension ended this past, before the weekend there. So we are really just sitting and waiting.
That was one of the biggest shocks to me of the weekend is that we did not get the Friday holiday news dump that Deshaun Watson has been suspended for a year. I thought it was the perfect time, you know, obviously with the 4th of July, people out barbecuing, going on vacation. Wouldn't have had a lot of time on TV to argue about it. So I'm really surprised they didn't find a way to get that done and announced for the perfect Friday news dump.
Yeah, very surprising there as well. But, no news as of yet. I haven't even really seen any updates about where they're necessarily rumored at the moment. But I'm sure we will get news on that sooner rather than later. Because I'm sure there'll be an appeal and all that kind of stuff, and I'm sure you want to get that all settled as quick as you can before you know really get deep into training camp and stuff like that.
Is the 4th of July not a big movie weekend anymore either?
I mean the Minions movie came out.
I was just wondering like why, because there's a new Marvel movie coming soon, right?
Yeah, it's on Thursday. I'll be there on Thursday.
Why didn't they try to get out on like 4th of July weekend?
I'm not sure.
Were they scared of Minions?
No, I feel like maybe they're more worried that people are just want to be outside on like lakes and, you know, barbecuing with family, stuff like that, maybe.
Yeah, maybe the 4th of July isn't a big... Although that Minions movie did $200 million.
Yeah, it did really good at the box office. I was pretty impressed. I thought it would be fine, but
holy
cow.
It got kind of memed into success. They said like they had a unusual high number of like 12 to 17-year-olds going to see the movie. Like, we didn't really expect this. And then you realized it was like a TikTok meme.
Basically, the TikTok people helped it boost it a little bit. And, you know, you get some of the people that are nostalgic, too, and take either their younger siblings or just kind of rock it out. But I haven't seen it yet, but I probably won't actually at all. But
you excited for the Thor movie?
I am. I think those movies are fun.
I've seen the reviews not being very kind to them.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of things say they went too hard with the humor, but I kind of expected that with the way the last Thor movie went. They kind of...
So they were trying to kind of recreate that magic.
They basically said if you liked that first one, or like that last one, but you'll like this one. If you hated the last one, you probably won't like this one either. So,
conference realignment talk going on again, as not with the Pac-12 this time. There's apparently some reports now circulating that Georgia Tech has been contacted by the Big Ten.
Okay.
The Big Ten trying to come poach Georgia Tech away from the ACC.
Good for the Jackets. I was worried about them a little bit.
I think they're okay being in Atlanta.
Okay, Big Ten trying to go for that market maybe.
And also so if you're the Big Ten, that'll be your first real school in the South, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, there's nobody really from the SEC you could poach.
Yeah.
When it comes to the ACC, Georgia Tech, are they the northernmost school? What I mean by that is obviously, like, I know Miami and Florida State are down there, but, like, you know, Georgia Tech in Atlanta gives them, like, the best realistic shot of being in the quote-unquote South. Like,
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can't really think of any other ACC schools that, you know. Like,
Clemson, sort of. I guess
North Carolina technically, like anything in North Carolina basically, but... feel like, I think the appeal probably of the Atlanta market is a lot bigger than the North Carolina cities.
Gets them in Atlanta in the Southeast market, has them in the heart of SEC country, while also, Georgia Tech is an AAU school and has the big academics that would keep them happy.
Yeah, Big Ten takes pride in that sometimes.
I don't know what AAU means in terms of athletics, but I guess something with athletic excellence. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But okay, good for the Yellow Jackets. You think we get something like a Big Ten SEC challenge for football?
Yeah, you would think, but I don't know. I don't know how like closely they're going to be working together, and I don't know like how many. I mean, I honestly don't know how many like non-conference games you're going to have when all this is said and done.
Yeah,
you might just be playing 12 conference games if you have 20 schools in your conference. I don't know.
That'd be wild, but yeah, it would not surprise me at all. Kind of outside of the college football stuff, the San Jose Sharks, the NHL team, are becoming the first team in NFL history to have a black GM.
Oh, wow.
So they're hiring Mike Greer tomorrow. Mike Greer, he played for 14 seasons before retiring in 2011.
Did you say he'll be the first
black GM in NHL history? Which, you know, isn't very surprising to me. It doesn't really.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Doesn't surprise me there. But, yeah, he's basically been the last season as the New York Rangers hockey operations advisor and worked as a scout for the Chicago Blackhawks for a few years before that as well. He is the younger brother of Miami Dolphins GM, Chris Greer. So, yes, it's running in the family a little bit. So, yeah, he is getting to GM another team as well. That has to be pretty cool. Like, yeah, you and your brother just GM two professional teams.
Yeah,
that's pretty sweet.
That has to be a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah, good for him.
All right. Any other headlines?
No, I've just been seeing a lot of this realignment stuff. TJ Warren signing a deal with the Nets, which I think, you know, if he comes back to form, hasn't played a lot the past 2 years, but if he gets back to his scoring ability, you know, that's good for him to just have somebody. But, you know, obviously they're trading their guys, so rebuild probably anyways, but shot for him to get back to his old form and maybe get another payday before.
It seems weird that he would choose to go there, although I guess maybe he looks and says Durant will be gone, so he'll have a starting spot. There's another person off the list for Miami. It seems, you know, the rumors were that they would try to bring him in Miami to come off the bench. But another option gone for them as they wait. Maybe that's Brooklyn's plan, just hold everybody up and start trying to poach some of the guys they can bring in.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. As other teams wait because they don't want to ruin their chances for KD. All right. Good batch of headlines. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. I've yet to see anyone really in favor of all this expansion and realignment. It seems to be universally hated.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody super happy with it either. I think the only people that seem happy with it are the universities that are getting the money upgrades.
And I wonder how they truly feel. I mean, is it all money? If it's all money, that's cool. I get that. Mm-hmm. Good job, USC and UCLA. You more than doubled your intake, and you stayed alive in the arms race. Congratulations. That should be applauded, and maybe everyone at USC is walking around like, yes, we're in a real football conference now, and look at us.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine that anybody's really excited about the prospect of, having to redesign everything in their life. And now, I mean, I don't know how many USC and UCLA fans like traveling on the road,
mm-hmm.
but now every road game they have in their conference is going to be like an airplane game.
Yeah.
you can't drive to any of them.
That is really unfortunate.
I feel like if you're in the conference, you should be allowed to road trip.
Yeah.
Like Tennessee, going to Gainesville is a little bit of a haul when you drive. It's 8 hours. That's not great.
Yeah, but it's doable.
Going to Texas A&M's, 12 hours basically? That's not great. That's off. That's actually really terrible. Don't do it. So don't recommend it at all.
Please fly.
I drove it in 2016, but, you know, you could drive to Athens, you could drive to Tuscaloosa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the majority should be drivable.
Yeah.
It's okay if there's one or two, I think, but, you should be able to get to most of these away games pretty easily.
You can't do that anywhere in the in the new, Big Ten / whatever if you are USC and UCLA. That feels like it would hurt. Georgia Tech, we talked about, now being linked to the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
How big of a loss would that be for the ACC? I don't feel like it would actually, really move the needle at all.
Yeah.
But would it be the first domino to fall, or then all of a sudden you have other ACC teams realizing, hey,
mm-hmm.
we are not in the big conference, we need to get out of here?
Yeah, if I'm the ACC, I'm pretty concerned right now, because obviously This is the first time I'm really seeing the, teams possibly leaving the ACC. But, obviously the Big Ten's already got their teams coming. The Pac-12 and Big 12 at least look like some of those Pac-12 teams are going to go to the Big 12. ACC, you're kind of just we're the odd man out right here almost. And, who would we add that are going to make an impact? And like at this rate, I don't think they're not obviously going to poach anybody from the SEC, Big Ten, or Big 12 at this point. Ewens, think their best bet right now is hoping Notre Dame wants to come to their side and maybe you get a few more decent level schools. Like, I don't know. ACC, I would be pretty worried right now. Especially now that it seems like Georgia Tech is possibly, you know, leaving as well. That's, like you said, first domino to kind of go.
If Georgia Tech, and that, you know, if that comes to fruition, obviously. But it would at least answer the question that I think a lot of the ACC is kind of dealing with, which is they thought that, like, with the way their conference, I think it's called a grant of rights, was set up, that it would be tougher for the ACC teams to leave. But if Georgia Tech finds a way to work that out, then, yeah, it opens the door for Florida State and Miami and Clemson to kind of look around to survive. Or maybe it opens up a spot and see you later, Georgia Tech. Now we're going to do everything we possibly can to get Notre Dame in there.
Yeah.
And, like, Notre Dame still is the big free agent. It is still the big game changer because Notre Dame, if they are to join the ACC, I would imagine that raises the value of the league as a whole whenever it comes to their TV negotiations, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you get that big-ass brand, that big shiny chrome helmet in your conference, then all of a sudden you are more valuable as a whole. Georgia Tech, yeah, we lost Atlanta. That kind of stinks. But, hey, still got Charlotte. Still got, you know, we still got Florida for you.
In the grand scheme, even, like, Clemson's not that far from Atlanta. Like, they have, at least a fan base in that area.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was talking about with Charlotte. But I guess Clemson's also close to, like, yeah, I mean, they're not far from Atlanta, really. I mean, it's not that big of a deal to lose Georgia Tech, I wouldn't say. It's probably more of a benefit for the Big Ten to have them than it is a detriment for the ACC to lose them. But if you're the ACC and those dominoes start falling, you better have a plan.
Yeah.
We've already seen the Pac-12 kind of, go by the wayside.
It said, I was reading something too, but it was saying there's already tension in the ACC among members because they were basically the tension on how they're splitting the money, basically just evenly across the 14 teams. Obviously, teams like Clemson, Miami, Florida State feel like they deserve a bigger cut of it than, like a Boston College, Syracuse, probably.
And do they? The answer is probably yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Pac-12 would have done that, maybe they don't lose USC and UCLA, right? Like, maybe if you're actually getting paid your market value, then, like, your conference would have stayed together. Maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if Georgia Tech goes to the Big Ten, I think another team they would probably go for out of the ACC is probably Virginia, if you're trying to go on that same spectrum of just, like, the academics.
Yeah.
You would add a basketball school as well.
Yeah. I mean, Raleigh, I think. Is it not Raleigh, but is it Raleigh? No, where's Virginia?
No, they are in
City am I, Virginia? What am I missing there?
Oh, wow. I should know that.
Isn't there a TV market there in Virginia that matters?
Is it Charlotte? It's not Charlotte.
No, it's not Charlotte. I don't know. I thought I had it, and then I lost it.
Yeah, I shouldn't know that off the top of my head. Virginia. Charlottesville. Okay. Yeah, I nailed it.
Got it.
Not sure, what big city is exactly next to that. But, yeah, with the whole academic side, another basketball school, and, they've been a mid-tier ACC school. I'm sure they would, at least comparable to, like, Rutgers of Maryland being up there.
Well, it's also survival of the fittest, right? Mm-hmm. It's also like, hey, I got to get here as soon as possible because I got to guarantee my spot. Like, it's not, ironically enough, it's not dissimilar, Cam, from when it comes to, like, high school recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, if you're a fringe prospect, and you're getting, like, a big-time offer from SEC schools, we're like, hey, either you go ahead and lock in your spot now, we're going to kind of, like, go somewhere else. You better go ahead and lock yourself in.
Oh, absolutely.
You can still get processed, but you got a better chance of staying in if you've already kind of locked in your spot, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is very similar to that for sure in this aspect. I don't know. I'm worried if I'm the ACC just because, if the Big Ten's interested in some of your schools, that was, you know, probably assumed to be expected at some point. But also, I think the SEC is probably going to be interested in your big names in, like, the grand scheme if it comes down to it, and it basically ends up being a arms race for who can get, like, the first to 20 or however big these conferences are trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you got to either either merge with somebody else if you're the ACC, I feel like, or you're going to be getting poached and kind of dissolved like the Pac-12 looks like it's headed.
It's sink or swim.
Yep.
It's sink or swim, and you have to make that decision. And, yeah, that seems, like I said, kind of like recruiting where you're looking. You're like, hey, we got to go ahead and lock in. And when you look at it from that perspective, maybe it makes more sense for Georgia Tech to be the first ACC school to leave.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Especially because, yeah, they have not been great in recent years. So they are definitely probably – ACC probably views them like, okay, yeah, we appreciate your academics. But as far as the totem pole, they're probably not very high up there in the ACC's regard. And like you said, yeah, just survival of the fittest. And all these teams, you have to just like – you're probably looking around and like, what do we all have to offer? Because that's probably, you know, the biggest thing. You kind of have to have something to offer here, regardless if it's Georgia Tech with the academics and the TV market – or, you know, just like Virginia having a basketball school, Duke having basketball. Like, you have to have something worth appealing to, you know, these big conferences that feel that you can add value to them, basically.
100%. You got to bring something to the table. You're right about that.
It's a potluck. Potluck of stuff, basically.
Got to bring something. Either you are a good football program, potentially a good basketball program.
Mm-hmm.
Or just a TV market.
Yeah, or just have a big fan base, you know, we'll kind of follow them where they go. Like,
yeah, and, you know, whenever you start looking at has and have-nots, like if we ever do get to these big mega conferences that are then start, you know, to kick people out, like Tennessee should be safe no matter what just because of mm-hmm. the fan base.
Absolutely.
Like, the basketball program's in good shape. We think the football program's headed that way. But,
and
like,
healthy
history,
across the board outside of that, too.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah. I mean, I don't know how much you're bringing to the market, to the TV market side, although I feel like with Nashville, like,
yeah,
having such a good Tennessee representation that you're kind of safe there, too. So
I think so.
You're in good position.
But, yeah, you're right. You may get to the point to where some of the teams at the bottom were going to just get kicked out anyways. So, like, if you got a chance to go.
I hope the bottom schools get kicked out because – you know, for having just mega conferences, I don't want to look around and all of a sudden have, like, you know, where we're just dealing with, or when we're having games, I guess, where Tennessee's having to play one of their few games against, you know, I don't want to single Vanderbilt out, but let's just assume that we're a 20-team conference and, mm-hmm. like, yeah, like, it feels like the spots, I guess, that are going to be taken up by some of those small schools should be reconsidered, I guess is what I'm trying to
yeah.
say.
And, yeah, I think that will happen because it is going to be an arms race, and it's basically an arms race to have what teams bring the most value to your potential TV contract. And that's what it's going to come down to, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, like ultimately it does feel like, yeah, that's the going to be the deal breaker for a lot of people.
I think Notre Dame needs to get over themselves and just jump in somewhere. Because, like, if you look at their, you know, the money they make compared to, you know, all these, like, the Big Ten and the SEC, stuff like that, yeah, they still make good money because they're not splitting it with everybody, but I think they only make about, like, $15 a year off their TV deal, $50 million a year off their TV deal, and you could join one of these conferences and you would just jump into one of the bigger deals and you're obviously instantly making more money. Like the year they joined the ACC for the, you know, the COVID situation, they made, I think, $35 million off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And which is, you know, what you're just an extra $20 million at least that you weren't making when you're trying to be solo and do your own thing and have being prideful over there and, oh, we're Notre Dame, this is what we've always done. Just get over yourself and go make some money at this point.
Get over yourself, bro.
They're going to all be, like you said, Vanderbilt can make $80 million, and like Notre Dame, you're making like 15, 20, 25. You got to be sick looking at those numbers.
I'm sure Notre Dame is making more money. For Notre Dame, I think, like, you know, the TV stuff would still kind of be working for them, but I think it'd be more just like we're not a real football program if we get left out of these mega conferences.
Yeah, yeah, that as well.
Because I don't know, again, like, as we're still waiting to see, and who knows, we might still be a couple years away from knowing our final answers, but like, You might be looking at something where you're not getting to have a lot of non-conference games. We've talked about that. Yeah. Like, if you have a super conference, then all of a sudden, who do you play if you're Notre Dame? That would be scary.
Absolutely. But I do think we have the basically top two conferences obviously decided. I think the Big 12 has taken that step to be the third. And I think they were going to be fine anyways, because I think they have less schools that these other conferences were going to try to poach, like, moving forward.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, the fact that they're also taking the initiative to go get some more schools as well, Big 12 should just be that third conference, basically. I mean, yeah, it's basically up to the ACC if they hold it together. And it looks like the Pac-12 is going to fizzle out a little bit. But
last call – or not last call. I meant to say winners and losers of the weekend coming up after the break. We'll do last call after that. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your heating and air system is the biggest energy user in your home. Small ripples in your system's efficiency can cause big waves in your utility bills. That's why you need Blue Water Climate Control's Smooth Sailing Service Plan. Get semi-annual tune-ups, 10% savings on repairs, never pay after-hours fees, and save on your utility bills. All for as little as $15 a month when you mention Fan Run Radio. Just call 865-299-2290 or book online with their virtual dispatcher at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. Summer will be here before you know it.
Office Furniture Outfitters has the biggest selection of the best value in office furniture around. Conveniently located off 17th Street near UT's campus, they keep a huge selection of furniture in stock ready to go. Both new and used options, desks, chairs, files, and more. And Office Furniture Outfitters is your local Herman Miller dealer. Let them help lay out your space, deliver, and set everything up. Visit the website at ofonox.com or call them at 865-524-3003.
Car wrecks happen and when they do.
Winners and losers of the weekend. Today, as brought to you by the same person that brings you our Fan Run Radio live stream, Linderman Sports Medicine, located in Memphis. But people travel from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game of life with Linderman Sports Medicine. That's how good they are. If you are not active right now because of any discomfort or pain, if you're having any of your activities limited, you need to check out the amazing work being done by Dr. Laura Linderman at Linderman Sports Medicine. Get back in the game of life at LindermanSportsMedicine.com. Man, are you at the age where you're popping yet, Cam?
After this weekend, that was for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit. Some of the joints aren't as mobile as they used to be. So.
Yeah, first thing in the morning, like pretty much the first activity I do is going to just result in me completely cracking and popping, and
yep.
doesn't go well. But I'm still in the game of life. All right, let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Hit me with that beautiful theme song.
Winners and losers, winners and losers, winners and losers. Winners and losers.
Cam, who won this weekend?
All right. My number three winner of the weekend, I gave it to Rihanna. She is now worth $1.4 billion, making her America's youngest self-made billionaire woman.
Wow.
So she is rocking and rolling, loaded up, obviously with her music career. I mean, she has a bunch of her skincare, beauty, and lingerie lines. She is thriving.
You know, I've seen you talk about her male lingerie line. I was looking at that. You know what?
The smoking robes are kind of lit.
Yeah.
I got a couple of those.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I do.
Thought about it.
I'll bring one and let you try it.
I don't think. Will it fit me, you think?
Yeah.
I didn't feel like we're the same size.
Yeah, it's loose enough. It's pretty loose on me, so.
Okay.
But yeah, no, so she's rocking and rolling, obviously. All those markets, making her tons of money, $1.4 billion. She may never make music again. She's just chilling. She doesn't really need to do anything.
Doesn't have to, for sure.
So she is just thriving there. My number two winner of the weekend, I gave it to basically Minnesota in general, just because obviously we had the Gobert trade, so their fan base is getting a little shimmer of possible success. And at least effort from their franchise. And then also, the Minnesota Twins had the first ever 8-5 triple play in MLB history.
Okay.
So just a couple big things for Minnesota over the weekend, setting some first. And then my number one winner of the weekend, I gave it to the Glizzy Gladiator, Joey Chestnut. Just big win for him, obviously winning most championships in anything all time. And then also just the way it happened, too, with the injury and the choking out the protester. Yeah. He was just a big winner all across the board as far as his, just being around the internet and trending and everything in general. And, yeah, just winning again. So Joey Chestnut was my number one winner of the weekend.
My winners of the weekend. Ours are actually kind of similar. Number three, I went with Stranger Things as they kind of wrapped up their season four. I'm sure they're going to set some new Netflix records with time spent watching. It actually got me going back to kind of – I was bored yesterday. I started watching some of the first season again just to kind of see how
– the progression.
Yeah, just kind of see how they progress, and it's very startling how much younger they all look because it's supposed to be only like 2 years later. But like I'm like, oh, my God. But anyways, I thought they wrapped up their season four solidly. People are, you know, happy with it or at least moved by it. I won't say everyone was happy with it, but a good season. They put the bow on. And I will say, I feel like I was wrong. I wondered if people still cared about the show. They do. I wondered if I still cared about the show. I won't say that like it's in my top five or whatever, but I usually enjoy watching the episodes. And, you know, I knocked them out and they won. And I guess they were right and I was wrong because the movie length last two episodes worked. I didn't feel like it was too much.
Was it too long?
They made me watch 2 hours and 30 minutes of a TV show, but it kind of worked. It kind of worked. Number two for me, I went with Minnesota Timberwolves fans just because I feel like you got to have some hope here, and you feel like your team is swinging for the fences, and you got a new owner, and they're spending money, and you are a franchise that has had pretty much nothing to celebrate for most of your time as fans, and now at least you have some hope, and hope is the most powerful thing when it comes to sports fandom. And number one, you call him the Glizzy Gladiator. Everyone else calls him Joey Jaws, Joey Chestnut. Number one winner of the weekend. What a legendary, iconic performance.
Oh, yeah. Nothing else like it, ever.
You think he's limping around, feeling like he's the man?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's on top of the world right now. He already was probably, you know, obviously very confident in his ability, but... You know, he's rocking and rolling.
Of course he's going to be there. Like, what the hell else he got going on? This is the one day of the year where he's the man and people care.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. If he had to be wheelchaired in there, he was going to be there trying to eat those hot dogs. He was going to be there regardless, like you said.
I feel like it was kind of disrespectful to put that on ESPN News, though. I understand that Wimbledon was going on, but.
Yeah, I thought that too. I was like wondering where I couldn't find it at first, and found it over there, but. Also, honorable mention, shout out to my boy Eric Badlands Booker over there winning the lemonade chugging challenge.
Yeah, what the hell was that? Since when did they start doing that?
I don't know, but that was like his second title.
That seemed like a lot of sugar to take in 30 seconds. Did they?
Oh my man!
Did they get the non sugar versions? Do they even have non sugar versions of lemonade?
They do, but I'm not sure what they had there. But yeah, my man just rocked out. The lemonade there. Second career chug contest title. My man goes up there for the hot dog eating contest, and I swear he's just up there just to enjoy the free hot dogs. He takes his time when he's doing the hot dog contest.
Maybe.
I'm just like, okay, go for it, my man. I ain't mad at it.
Maybe he is.
I am not mad at it, but I guess my losers? I can do my losers.
Yeah, hit me with your losers.
All right, my number three loser of the weekend, I gave it to hangovers. Researchers from a manufacturer in, I think, Sweden basically are putting, it's a Swedish company, are putting the first hangover prevention pill on the market.
Okay.
You basically take it, basically the before night out, and it's supposed to break down the alcohol concentration in your blood by half within 30 minutes of having a drink. So, supposed to help you with hangovers, and seems like it just helps you sober up in general. But, yeah, they are basically putting those on the market. They said two pills, take them an hour before drinking for maximum effects. Breaks down alcohol in one system for up to 12 hours.
So, you drink You take one before you drink, and it makes you drunker, and then you take another one afterwards, and it sobers you up?
No, you take the two before you start drinking. You take both pills, and the way it works is it breaks down the alcohol. So, like, you drink a drink, it says in 30 minutes, that would be down to half of what you had once you originally, you know, finish your drink, just because the way it breaks it down. So, but also, like, it seems like you can almost just like chill your intoxication level pretty quickly and basically sober up enough to get home at the end of the night. So that could be good as well, dropping that blood alcohol content as well.
How long has this been out?
It just came out like yesterday.
Yeah, I'll let some other people try it for a while first. Yeah.
First we'll hit the market, but
yeah, I'll let some. Other people try first.
I don't know if we can even get it in the States since it's a Swedish thing. Purchased online, maybe you can find it though. I'll have to look it up. Maybe we'll test it for science.
That was number one for you?
That was my number three. My number two loser of the weekend is dogs, because fireworks be scaring the puppies and wildlife.
I had a dog die stuff. That way when I was younger.
Yep, very bad for pets.
But I gotta say, my dog Frank doesn't really care.
Yeah, no, there's lots of dogs that are unfazed, but also a lot that are fazed.
He just lays by the window and just doesn't really mind.
No.
Now, I know that, you know, other people, other dogs, you know, deal with it a little bit different, especially if they're outside dogs and all that, but, yeah.
The dogs, the environment, nature, all those people. And my number one loser of the weekend, I gave it to the Pac-12, just USC and UCLA going official. You knew they were in some trouble, and obviously more stuff coming out today. Looks like they are in serious trouble, so.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to the Pac-12.
Does seem like they're done for.
John, who are your losers of the weekend?
You know, I got to be honest, I kind of struggled with my list here.
Okay.
At least the number three spot. I ended up with going with Morbius.
Okay.
Just because I feel like they had to sit there and watch what Minions did and how they successfully meme themselves into $200 million in the opening weekend and how, like, the same kids that were on TikTok talking about how it's Morbin time.
Yeah.
And acted like, hey, you know, put it back in theaters. We'll go see it this time. We'll make memes about it. We'll go make TikToks. And the studio's like, okay, this sounds good. How they did it, and then it still didn't work for them.
Yep. and the Minions just blowing up.
Yeah, they flopped twice, and then they had to sit around and watch Minions actually get the meme boost. That had to hurt. It wasn't Morbin time. It was Minion time.
What were they calling the guys in the suits dress? It was like Gentle Minions, I think is what they were called.
Yeah.
Just absurd.
But it seems like they were probably in there causing a scene because I saw some like popcorn like spread all over the floors. I guess maybe they were throwing it whenever the Minions did something cool.
I saw somebody snuck a bunch of bananas in because that's like a Minion bit in the movies for some reason.
Minions like bananas?
Yeah, so they snuck a bunch of bananas in and just, people just being all over the place with this.
Fair enough.
Morbid time.
That was my third biggest loser of the weekend. Number two, I went with the Seattle Seahawks and their fans. Did you see what happened there?
Oh, I did not.
The U.S. Open was going on. It got tweeted. A highlights, I guess. A Seattle Seahawks fan responded with "not a real sport." And then the U.S. Open Twitter account just said, like, says the guy lining up to watch 17 games of Drew Locke as your quarterback.
I did see that. Okay, I did see that, yeah.
Yeah.
Drew Locke just catching a stray. Because,
Drew Locke is added to my list. The Seattle Seahawks and Drew Locke. I just feel like they are starting. You know, it got to the point where I felt bad for DK Metcalf. He just like tweeted. I was like, we get it. Chill. We understand. Chill. Point, we got it. Yes, our team sucks. Number one, I should have found a way to get him on the biggest winners list, but this is my way of kind of circumventing the rules here. So the number one loser of the weekend, people like Cody McClure. Mm-hmm. Brian Windhorst haters. My man had his moments all weekend.
Yeah, he did.
Brian Windhorst haters.
He was on it.
Man, I really should have found a way to get Brian Windhorst as a winner, and then you could have put Usher, too, for the Usher memes. He had a nice comeback with the Usher memes, too.
Yeah, he did.
I'm going to have to reconfigure
this. Those have been everywhere.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to reconfigure this list a little bit. I'm going to have to kick Stranger Things off. Just a lot of winning this weekend.
Yeah, a lot of winning. Long weekend, lots of winners.
That is true. It was a super long weekend. Good for Brian Windhorst, though.
Yeah, well, he made it.
He feels like he knew the Rudy Gobert trade was coming, but didn't really have the details of it. That's why he's like, why is that? Last call on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Hey. Last call here on the program. I'm nervous before we get to last call. I'm supposed to be making a decision. I'm supposed to be going to California this weekend.
Okay.
But I don't have a ticket bought yet.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't have any, flights booked yet. Because, I tried to book them a while ago. Like, that's whenever, like, we didn't know how exactly high the gas was going, so everything was a lot more expensive. So now I'm waiting, and like, I don't know if I'm going to go. Then I'll probably fly American at least there.
Yeah.
But then I saw there's a pilot shortage for American, how they're all staging some type of walkout or whatever. So I'm like, do I really want to chance it there flying? Because I got a bad feeling that I'm going to get somewhere and just get stranded.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof.
Or the flight's going to keep getting pushed back. I don't know.
So you're going to a festival, or you were going to a festival, right?
Yeah. Supposed to be going to this one day festival. Yeah. My dumbass always buys two tickets.
I do that too.
I have two tickets and two VIP tickets, but I don't really have anybody that wants to fly across the country with me to go to California. So now I'm just kind of well, that's kind of sad.
I'm sure you'll figure it out. You'll get it. You'll figure it out.
I don't know if I'm going to go or not, but we'll see. But that's I'll look at this airline stuff now and
the prices way everything. Up there.
Prices are okay at least. They're okay. Anyways, hit us with a story for last call.
All right. I got a lifeguard. Has this happened?
Sharks. There's a lot of sharks over in Northeast?
Yeah. Yeah. You're on it. This lifeguard gets attacked by a shark while teaching shark safety. So it was up in Long Island, up in that area. But I think it was Long Island. Yeah, Long Island. So basically, it was at Smith Point where an unidentified lifeguard was pretending to be a shark attack victim during a training exercise.
Oh, no.
So basically, which this is dumb to do, but he just basically jumped in the water and was flailing about like he was obviously a shark attack victim. And what do you know? Sharks like when things are flailing about. That reminds them of prey. So, basically they had to temporarily close the Long Island beach after the shark attacked the lifeguard and bit his chest and hand. They said he was receiving stitches but in very good spirits. So obviously it wasn't fatal or anything like that, but they used drones to try to comb the areas, look for sharks. Didn't see them say they found anything, but yeah. So I don't recommend going out to the beach and pretending like you.
It does seem like bad karma, right?
Yeah, yeah. 10:15 a.m. You're also dusk and dawn are the most active shark times. Those are the worst times to do stuff like that.
Is that feeding time?
Yeah, pretty much. So, that's the worst scenario. Jeez, how are you going to teach shark attack safety when you don't know that? This was karma. This is well deserved. I'm on the shark side here.
What happens if they do it? What? Does anything happen to the sharks if they bite somebody? Do they then go?
Sometimes
try to
they'll
them
try to
kill them?
Yeah, that's why they were looking for them with drones. They'll try to do that as well.
What is the reason there? Because they're afraid they got the taste for humans and will do it again.
But that's not ever really what happens. Sharks don't really actually eat people. Even when people die from shark attacks, it's just loss of blood from the bite and stuff. They don't just come back to keep eating you. They usually bite you, do their shake, and they're like, oh wait. I don't like this taste, and they swim away.
Have you seen the previews for the new Idris Elba movie?
Yes, I did see a little bit of that. Yeah,
For lack of a better explanation, it's like Jaws except with a lion.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. They're trapped at a safari kind of thing.
Yeah, they're just out in the wild, and there's a lion there that has a taste for blood, or a lion that's trying to protect its position, or I don't know. It looks kind of scary, actually.
Yeah, no, I'm into it.
I was kind of surprised there hadn't been an actual like scary lion movie. I wonder if that's going to, I mean, do we, I was going to say, I wonder if that's going to change the way we view the safari, but,
because
I mean, I feel like Jaws changed the way we look at the ocean.
Oh, yeah, no, it definitely scared people out of that a little bit, but, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Like you said, it did look really intense. It looked really action-packed. I hope it's a decent movie and they're not just, you know, just poor quality, but.
I haven't been able to decide if I think the movie's going to be any good or not.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering, too, but.
I'm not sure how that's going to go, because it is just like him and out there with his family hiding from a lion. This seems like a hard thing to do an hour and a half, 2 hours on. But
yeah,
I wonder like how we viewed sharks before Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have been biting people, would we have still been hunting them to kill them? I don't know. Maybe we wouldn't have had drones to find them. But
yeah, yeah. But yeah, they basically do that because, you know, people are so scared once they hear that the shark bit somebody. They're like, oh, that shark's going to come back. Yeah, that's not usually how it works, but I get it. Whatever.
We got the VFLs in the NBA Summer League official roster.
Ooh, yeah, I do want to hear who's in.
Yeah, let me run through. Now give it to me. We got seven balls set for the NBA Summer League. Admiral still with the Magic. I wonder how Admiral feels seeing Grant's success. I mean, he's happy for him, I imagine.
Yeah,
but
he's like, oh, that's.
I wonder if he's
too.
Like, damn, here I am still in the damn Summer League. Mm-hmm. Jordan Bone with the Celtics.
Okay.
Jane Springer with the 76ers. Keon with the Trailblazers. Kenny Chandler with the Grizzlies. Kyle Alexander with the Trailblazers.
Okay.
It should be interesting to watch the Trailblazers. Yeah, there might be a place he can maybe break in this year.
Actually, yeah.
I don't know what they have as a backup guard. And Pons is no longer with the Grizzlies. He's with the Nets. So maybe another potential place to break through, although I would imagine after this trade, actually, they'll probably have a pretty full roster.
Yeah, you would think they'll make that money work, but
I don't know if the drive is coming up next or not. Was this a station-wide day off that I didn't know about?
That's what it seems like. Get here, we're locked out and everything.
Yeah, was this a station-wide day? Like, were we supposed to be off today? I don't see anybody out there for the drive, so I don't know if they're coming back or not.
At least we gave the people something today.
Yeah.
We're here for you, people.
Yeah. Today we were. Tomorrow we'll be back. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.